Hello there! Welcome to the International Business Podcast, a show for those who work across time zones, borders, and cultures. I'm your host, Leonardo, from Shanghai, but let's make it simple and just call me Leo. We also have a new co-host, Stefano, based in Paris. Coming up on today's episode.
I think having four kids definitely makes you more more empathetic and more understanding of other people's situation and probably less judging because I know how difficult it can be at times and how you can struggle. And I think also you have to prioritize because you only have a certain number of hours a day. And then if say you're single and no kids, well, you can do what you want with your time, but if you have four kids demanding your attention and you need to do your job, you need to be more sharp about what do I do, what do I want to get from this, and when prioritizing work, saying, okay, will this task, if I do this, will it make the needle move forward or not?
Christine is a mother of four and a very successful professional, time management and work-life balance at its best. She has had companies in Denmark and France, and currently she's the CCO at New Banking, a Danish regtech company. Her book, Business Mom, provides a practical plan for women who want to create a life while running a business. Family and business do not exclude one another. You can find more information about Christine, including the link to her book, in the show notes. Now, let's jump into it. Hi, Christine. I'm glad to have you on. Welcome to the International Business Podcast.
Hi, and thank you very much for having me.
And Christine, I would like to start this way. Why would you define yourself as an international professional?
So I think actually in my mindset since growing up, I've always felt quite international. I'm from Denmark, which is like a very small Scandinavian country. So if you try to move anywhere, you're not in Denmark anymore, basically. And I've always had parents who introduced me to other people and other cultures. So I remember for me, it was important to learn both English and French and German and being able to communicate with other people while growing up. So I think it's something that, I don't know, it feels natural to me. And I see myself more like, say, European than Danish, for example. I lived a lot of time in France, finished my master's degree there. And so I don't know, I just really thrive in an international environment. And I'm always curious about learning about new cultures. Right now I'm in the middle of learning Spanish. And yeah, I just think it's really interesting.
Oh, muy bueno.
Sí.
I don't speak Spanish. That's the only thing that came to my mind. And maybe it's wrong as well. So Spanish listeners, I'm sorry. You know, my Spanish is not good. So talking about stupid jokes, everyone, Christine, at work seems really serious. I don't know about your office, but overall, in general, there are so many glum faces at the office. So let's talk about fun. How does fun fit in serious business?
I actually think that it fits very well. I think that I'm a natural optimist, so you can't really remove that from my personality. But just in any given situation, and maybe even more now with the corona crisis and where a lot of people are locked down at home, it's difficult. It just makes life easier to handle if you have a positive view on things. So I really like to make jokes and see every time I have a conversation with someone, what can I say to make them smile and to make the day better? And when you have that approach, it's just so much easier to solve problems. And when you talk to people to find solutions, because you go into a more open mindset and you joke and we can do this and that could be fun. And then things just seems so much easier. So I think it's just a nicer way to go through life. And anyway, the people that are struggling, they will not struggle less because I'm serious and angry. I mean, it's not going to help them anyway. So might as well come with a positive attitude and try to have fun in what you do, because we only live once. So I want to make the most of it and enjoy myself while doing what I have to do.
Is there, I don't know, a particular joke that you remember? Something that you said at the office? And let's say maybe it was awkward.
Well, I have many jokes, actually, because last year I was managing different teams. And in Denmark, we have a very sarcastic kind of humor. And then I was with my UK team and I said something, I think, very Danish and something about being nude. I didn't mean to be inappropriate. But normally, I know that with my Danish colleagues, they would kind of have bounced off and laughed, but it was just like quiet. I'm like, okay, well, on a more serious note, let's continue. But it's just, you know, sometimes from one culture to another culture, you need to adapt what you're saying for it to be understood the right way.
You have over 15 years of experience with sales, recruitment, people development, processes, and entrepreneurship. Your main thrill is grow businesses, Christine. How about growth during this special year, during the year of the coronavirus?
Well, it's obviously a challenge. But as I said to one of my colleagues, because she was saying, oh, I'm so happy I don't have your job. There's so many problems. But I like to solve problems because that's where I can really add value. It's not that I wish for bad things to happen. But if there are problems to be solved, you can add so much more value and help people move forward and do things. And I think that during Corona, obviously, it was a challenge to see how could we reorganize sales in the company that I was in, and where it was normal that you would go see customers and show them the product, and suddenly trying to figure out how can we do this in an online version and do it in a way where we still bring the same value to our customers, that we still connect with them. And I thought it was really fun and stimulating to do, and I'm so surprised to see how well it worked. And also just I also had some new colleagues that I never got to meet in real life. I only saw them virtually, but we still managed to bond and we still managed to create growth and grow as a team. And I think that was just a very wonderful experience, and to see that it can be done, because normally I might have said that it's difficult to do that virtually and you need to meet in person. But since we're all in the same boat and we still all have to connect that way, then it has worked.
So for the salespeople out there, what will be one piece of advice you'd give them?
I think it would be the same piece of advice, Corona or not. It's all about creating relationship with people, helping them, building trust. Because when your customers, they know you, they like you, they feel that they can confide in you, they would want to buy all sorts of things from you, not only what you sell, but also other stuff, just because, okay, we can trust in you. So can you help us, or can you connect me with somebody who can help? So I think it's all about, being human, being genuinely interested in the people that you talk to, and more thinking about how can I help rather than when can I sell you something.
And now I would like to move on impatience. So impatience is a common trait in today's high-level pressure business environment. So it's not like all fun and games. So how to solve this issue, Christine?
I think the good thing about impatience is that you get things done, which is nice, and you can make things move forward. But at the same time, I think it's important to set maybe like also the little goals. So you don't just focus on, if we talk about sales, I need to get the big sale done, but say, no, I had a nice first contact with the customer. I talked to the right decision makers. They like the product. Now they're going to test it or whatever it is. But you also celebrate the steps on the way, because then you'll see that things are moving forward and you're not just from you, so that you're not trying to be forceful and pushy in the sales, but by being a bit patient and enjoying the little steps, it will actually get you faster to the goal and where you want to be. So sometimes it actually makes you go faster to slow down, if it makes sense.
It does. But do you think that the average salesperson is impatient?
I would hope, because I think also to succeed in sales, you need to be very proactive. You need to reach out. You need to talk to a lot of people. You need to follow up a lot of times. It is a numbers game. So I think impatience is an important driver for you to achieve your goals. But you just need to handle it correctly so that your customer doesn't feel that you're impatient, because that's not a nice feeling. So if you use it to your advantage, it can definitely make you go forward and create a lot of results.
So let me rephrase that. We salespeople, we have to be impatient, but the important thing is that our customers don't understand that.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would be a good way of saying it. We should just use it for ourselves to move forward.
I love that. And what key factors have you witnessed across countries and cultures when building and managing teams?
I think that the things that are very important is, in the beginning, last year I started with a whole new team 1st of March, and then 12th of March in Denmark, we were all sent home. So I only had about a week with them, and then I needed to do the team building. And I think what was very important for everyone was that we connected on a daily basis, not necessarily for a long time, but just to see how everybody was doing and make a status. And we quickly found out that when somebody talked about a problem or an issue, then maybe somebody else had crossed that situation before and then they could help. So it was a quick way also to do knowledge sharing and have the people in the teams help each other. And then also it's very important, I mean, for me as the team manager, to give them some clear guidelines to say these are the boundaries, those are the roles and responsibilities, so that people are not worrying about what should I do or how should I do it, but they can just go about doing their work, and that I tell what are the expectations, how do I think we should go about it during Corona, how could you solve it, how could you do it differently if they have questions to a given situation. And then I actually did for the sales teams that we did the team bonuses, and that also really helped for them to go together and help each other and be resourceful rather than just minding their own business. And I think that was, especially during Corona, really important that you feel that you have a team effort and that you're not alone in this.
Scandinavians, Northern Europeans, are famous for efficiency.
Yeah.
So my question to you is, how do you run meetings? Is there, I don't know, something particular you do to run meetings? Because it seems that meetings drag out so much time in corporations. How do you run meetings? Because you have been building and managing teams. Any tips on this?
It's always a good idea to have a clear agenda, that you send it out before the meeting so that everybody can come prepared, that you don't, unless it's a brainstorming about something, but otherwise that you can come prepared to the meeting, that you know what to talk about, so that you don't have all of that kind of wasted time on that. And then obviously also being very clear about, is somebody taking notes on what we're doing and what will be the next step? So we discussed this point. Is this point on the agenda just to inform everyone, or do we need to make a decision on it? Because if it's just to inform, we're not going to discuss it. We'll move on to the next point. So which points are for discussions, and then decide who will take action on it going forward, because then it makes it a lot easier. Then I always also say, if you have the possibility, it's not very much possible now with Corona, but if you are at the office with people, then just communicating a lot with your colleagues and creating good relationships will make it so much easier when you need to get things done. I mean, I've seen us at the office where it could have taken weeks to make a decision, but we make it in 5 minutes because we've built the relationships, we have the trust, so we can just go and say, I suggest we do this. Are you okay? Who should be involved? Down, down, down. We move on. Problem solved. So I think a key issue also, both in sales and with your colleagues and everyone else, is communication and trust, because then you can move forward a lot faster.
I know, Christine, that you have 4 kids. What's your strategy on work-life balance? Because you must have a strategy, and you don't just have it, you also execute it, I guess, perfectly.
Yeah.
Also, share with us more info about the book that you wrote. So, Business Mom, 3 Steps to Success in Running Your Own Business and Being a Mom.
Okay, thank you. Well, I think one of the first things about work-life balance is it doesn't mean that you have to have equal time working or being with your family. I think it's more about the flexibility. So if you have small kids, because that's mainly when they're the most demanding, that if you can work your way around, you work for some hours, but then maybe you can take a break if you need to help them or do stuff. And then maybe you could work later in the evening, or it's about how you organize with your partner, or if you're a single parent, then with the people and family in your network, so that you create that flexibility much more than looking at how much do I work and how much time do I spend with my family. Because a lot of people also like working and get energy from that. So it's more about feeling good about, now I'm at work and I'm giving it my all at work, and now I'm at home with my family and I give them all of my attention, rather than being with your family thinking about business and being with your business and then feeling bad for not taking care of your kids. So I think it's more in the way you organize it and then being where you're at, because you can't do both at the same time. And then also to look at, when you look at your life, how many years do we spend working? 50 years maybe. So even though you have kids for a period of, say you have, I have 4 children, so I might have a period of 10 years with small kids, I still have 40 years to work where I can really go in and work a lot. So I think it's also about looking at your life as different phases and say, okay, this is a phase where I might spend more time on my family. This is a phase where I might spend more time on my work and feel good about it and enjoy the benefits of each period in your life, because it will change. So I don't think you need to have this rush and doing everything at the same time, like say when you're in your 20s, you still have a long life to live and you can do it in different times in your life. So try to remove that stress or pressure that we sometimes have, that we need to succeed in all areas in our lives at once, because that can be stressful.
And when did you choose to write the book?
When did I choose to write the book? Actually, it was after having my four kids, the two youngest being twins. And then I've been helping a lot of female entrepreneurs, first of all in Denmark, and creating a community for them, because I thought we needed some advice on actually handling business and family, and using the fact that you have your own business to say, okay, I can easily structure my day and my life so that I can also fit the family in, because I'm my own boss. I don't have a boss telling me when to do what. So to use it to your advantage to succeed with both. And what I did for my book is that I interviewed 10 different women with different situations, because I didn't want people reading the book and saying, okay, well, that's nice, Christine, but I'm not like you. So I'm like, okay, I'll give you 10 different role models, where some were married, some were alone, some had a husband who worked a lot, some had like five children. Another person was looking for investments for her business while she was being highly pregnant. So like trying to give different situations and to show that it's not necessarily your circumstances that decide whether or not you can succeed as a mom and entrepreneur, but more how you use those circumstances to your advantage, because it's more about that. And you have so much more flexibility when you're your own boss, if that's what you want to be.
Do you think that being a mom of four kids helped you to become as successful as you are in the business world?
I think having four kids definitely makes you more more empathetic and more understanding of other people's situation, and probably less judging, because I know how difficult it can be at times and how you can struggle. And I think also you have to prioritize, because you only have a certain number of hours a day. And then if, say, you're single and no kids, well, you can do what you want with your time. But if you have four kids demanding your attention and you need to do your job, you need to be more sharp about, what do I do? What do I want to get from this? And when prioritizing work, saying, okay, will this task, if I do this, will it make the needle move forward or not? Because you can spend time on things that just keeps you busy, but they will not make you move forward. So you become more clear about, I think, what you're doing and where you're going, because you only have you have less time for each action.
So you are the master of time management.
I think I'm pretty good at it, yes.
Good.
And in this whole, I also managed to take, like, say, a month off and go to travel to the US with my husband and kids and do different things. So I think, you can get a lot of flexibility and fun into your work life.
So who should read your book, Christine?
Well, actually, the fun thing is that I've heard from several fathers afterwards, why do you say it's only for women? Men can also learn so much from it. And even though you don't have kids, there are some great advice. And as you say, time management and how you prioritize your life and how you succeed with your business. So I would say that a lot of people who wants this work-life balance and wants to succeed with their business while having family could definitely benefit from it, being a man or woman. I think where the mother part comes in, especially because the 10 examples I have in the books are from women and mothers and how they've done. But business-wise, I think you get the same from the book if you're a man, and you would enjoy it just as much if you're a father who would like to have time with your kids.
I've got one final question I ask everyone who comes on the show. Share with us one memorable moment from your international career, and you can choose between a successful, a funny, or even a catastrophic episode.
So I thought about this question a bit, and I've chosen an episode that I think was just especially for me very memorable. It was when I was working in France, in Paris, and I had a recruitment agency there. And we were working in a building where there are a lot of small companies, so we got to know the other business owners as well. And then the business owner upstairs, he had an event company, and they were in charge of helping with the start of Tour de France, the cycling event. But that year, they had to start in London. And he didn't have anyone in his company feeling comfortable speaking English. And so he came and asked me and say like, oh, could you go with a team of, I don't know, 40 young men and women to London and make sure that we get this started for Tour de France and take care of that. And I thought that was just really nice because you had the whole international aspect of, okay, I'm here, I'm good at networking, I meet other people, and it's not at all what my business is about, but it was just a really fun opportunity to go to London for that. And yeah, I thought that was very nice.
A bit random, wasn't it?
Yeah, very. But I think that's also about like when people trust you, they ask you a lot of different things and you have fun opportunities that arise. And I think that's also what life is about, that it's not all just planned, but you have room for these things.
Yes, and I would like to say that international business people may have even more. So being open-minded is super important because the world is huge.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you could go anywhere, virtually or even physically, and across industries and regions. So I love that, that story. And I would like to wrap this up, Christine, by asking you to tell us a little bit more about your current role and who should connect with you after listening to this episode.
Okay, so my current role, I'm a CCO now in a Danish reg tech company called New Banking. And what we do is that we help all the companies that are under the anti-money laundering legislation and have to handle sensitive customer data in a compliant way and in a GDPR compliant way. So we're automating this whole procedure. And I think that right now at this point of where I'm at in my career and what could be relevant for people to connect with is if they are under this law, if they are lawyers or in banking, finance, and they need some tools to easily onboard the customers, because it's quite a nightmare, this whole legislation and what you need to collect from your customers. And it can actually be done in a really nice way. So if you want a better solution than from what you're struggling with, then you should definitely reach out to me. And also, if you think this is a nice area, then we're looking to build teams all over Europe. So if you think that you could be part of the sales and commercial team, then also feel free to reach out.
Christine, I want to thank you for your insights. Thank you for joining us on the International Business Podcast.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Subscribe today to listen to more international business stories. We have new guests every Monday. Connect with us on LinkedIn, info in the show notes. See you next week. Cheers.